All right, so we're going to kind of shift gears and go into the message, and then after the message, of course, we are going to close our service out today with baptism. And I almost forgot, but kids, you may be dismissed to your classes. So I'm going to put this back just a bit. So as we prepare for baptism today, everybody here who is going to be baptized, you know who you are, and I want to ask you to come down and sit in the front row, right up here. I'm pretty sure we're going to need one more chair if I did the calculations correctly. Everybody's going to be baptized. Have a seat, right? Okay, very good. Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you very much, sir. All right, so this service is for you guys. This message is for you guys. Maybe you didn't realize that yet, but this is for you. And all of you are just listening in because this is their time, this is their service. So we're going to start today. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read this first as we begin, beginning with verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason also, constantly, we thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So there's a few things that are happening here. And to get the background on this, to understand why Paul's writing this, this is typical Paul in his Pauline epistles. Basically what he would do is he would visit with the church, whether he would start the church or he would go back and visit, whichever. He would have a visitation with the church and he would make sure everything was on par. And he would get them on board, and they would accept the gospel, they would accept his preaching, and then he would have to go somewhere else. Maybe somewhere else to preach somewhere else, or maybe somewhere else to start another church, or maybe thrown in prison because of his preaching, or whatever. And so what would happen would be, he would hear from the church that they were not holding up to what his expectations were. And he's basically, every time he would write an epistle, it would always be the idea of, okay, guys, come on, when I was there, we didn't have this problem, right? Parents, have you ever experienced the turning the back type of thing? Like, everything's good until the parent turns their back, right? Or teachers, you ever experienced that? Everything's good until turn your back. Now, we have the youth in here today, middle school and youth. So, Brenda, have you ever experienced anything like that at all? That in charge of the youth, and if you're not in the room for some reason, do they kind of take advantage of what? Several times. Yes, several times. So they take advantage, and what's the word? Everybody knows this, and there's a reason why everybody knows this. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Yes, exactly. So where do we get that from? Well, I'm not going to say that was technically exactly a good analogy for Paul, but it's very similar. Because the whole issue with Paul was the idea that, guys, we talked about this. I was there. Why are you believing this stuff? Because people were infecting the church of Thessalonica the same way they were infecting the church of Colossae. And the churches, people were coming in and giving heresy because Paul was teaching Jesus is the way, there's nothing else. And then they were coming in going, no, there's got to be more. And they missed their Gnosticism with it and all their beliefs kind of intertwined with it. And it kind of got to the point where there was a vibe of, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. Because we all serve the same God, right? That sound familiar? It's interesting, isn't it, when we start talking that way. We all serve the same God, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or don't believe in Jesus. That's fine. We all serve the same God. I mean, God is God. And Well, actually, in the Christian realm, there is something to that, because you have to believe in Jesus in order to be a Christian, because it's actually in the name Christ. And Jesus himself said in John 14 that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's just as simple as that. That's the only way. I am the way. There is no other way. So Paul experienced that when he was converted. And then when Paul started churches, because of this, there was a lot of people that could have easily brought up Paul's past. Easily just said, oh yeah, Paul, really? You're the one that was killing us before. You're the one that was killing Christians. So what? Why should we follow what you say? You were Saul, remember? There's something interesting that happened to Saul, because when he had his experience on the Damascus Road, he was a completely changed man. And from then on, he led a holy life, an amazing life. He completely turned his back on his old life and went to his new life, was a completely different person. So if anybody ever saw him, they would be like, wait a minute, were you Saul? Because you don't look like Saul, you don't act like Saul. But I want you to see the boldness that he has in writing to this church at Thessalonica. When he says this, verse 10, he says, you are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Next slide. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who is calling you into his own kingdom and glory. So his first thing he's saying is the goal of Christianity is to walk in a manner worthy of God. But if you go back to what he said before that, go back to the other slide once again, please. He says right here, you are witnesses, verse 10, you are witnesses and so is God. Now listen to what he's saying. I want you to really listen to what he's saying here. You are witnesses and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. He alluded to this in chapter 1 at the very beginning, talking about, you know what it was like when we were there. Because that's his problem. His problem is saying, I've been hearing all this stuff. You guys are believing the wrong things. You're doing the wrong things. Your behavior's all out of whack. And then he says, let me just go back and tell you what it was like when we were there. And before he even gets there, I'm guessing, nobody can prove this, but I'm guessing that Paul, who used to be Saul, might have smelled somebody saying, you know what? Weren't you Saul? Who are you to tell us? So what does he say? You are witnesses, and so is God, that when we were with you, we were devout and we were blameless. Those are powerful words, aren't they? Could you imagine having the strength and boldness to say that to somebody? Because he's basically saying, go ahead, find something wrong with what we did while we were there. Go ahead. I dare you. Find something wrong. Anybody here want to do that? Anybody here at all want to say, hey, you know what? I dare you to find something wrong in my past. Or how about this one? I dare you to find an inefficiency in my life, because there are none. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Right? But he's saying, no, I'm telling you guys. You know, yes, I murdered Christians, but since my conversion, I'm a different person. And while I was with you, there was nothing blameless. Go ahead. And he's using that as the platform to say, so because of that, you know exactly how we were when we were among you. So because you know that, why in the world are you going against what you accepted and what you decided on believing? Why are you going against the gospel that we preached to you? So if I was going to ask today, because you never know for sure if how many people in a congregation or how many people listening by or watching by live stream, how many people actually have accepted Christ, or how many people are followers of Jesus, because we understand that some just listen, but they haven't made a decision yet, and we get that. But if you are here today, and if you can say without a shadow of a doubt that you are a follower of Jesus, that you have made the decision to follow Christ, I want you right now to recall, to kind of remember that time when it took place. Whether that was a one point in time, date, day, signed in the Bible, that's it, or whether it was a season of time, go back to that time right now and what that experience was like. And that's what I want those who are being baptized to do as well. I want you to go back to that time when you decided that, yes, Jesus is going to be my Lord, whether it was a pinpointed time or whether it was a season that brought you to that decision. Why is that important? Well, because it's important, number one, is because at New Hope, our theological stance is this, that what we're doing here today does not save anybody. Baptism does not save you. There's a reason why we have adult baptism and some have childhood baptism, but a little bit of history on that, if I may, with the whole adult baptism thing, that's why we're part of the Anabaptist church, and Anabaptism comes from the idea of adult baptizing adults, Anabaptism. That's why we're an Anabaptist church. And way back when, 1700s, I believe, is when pastors would be killed. They would have been slaughtered if they were caught baptizing adults, because we only baptize children. Blood was shed over what we're doing today. And what was the problem? Well, the pastor started to stand up against the church, the main church at the time, and stand up against the government saying, no, Scripture doesn't teach the idea that if you're baptized as a child that you're saved. Scripture teaches that as an adult you make a decision that I'm going to follow Jesus, and that's when you should be baptized. Now, before I go any further, some of you might be sitting there today going, I was baptized as a baby. Is that wrong? No, don't go out of here with me saying that was wrong. That's fine, because guess who else was baptized as a baby? But I also was baptized as an adult as well. Because there's something about the conversion where you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. So what's clear is that baptism does not save you. You can walk into this pool of water, and I can dunk you, which is going to be fun, by the way, for especially some of you. And I can dunk you, but you know, you can come out and not know Jesus. I'm sure there have been those who have. We hope not. But I'm sure there are those who have, because this is just a tradition, a ritual. This doesn't save you. So some of you right now are almost ready to leave saying, well, what's the point then? Why am I even doing this? If that's not it, I'm leaving now. Don't leave yet. Don't leave. This is the explanation point on your salvation. This is it. I've already made the decision, I'm following Jesus, and what this does is this announces to everyone who can see me that I am a follower of Jesus. This is my testimony to the world. That's what this does. And so what's going to happen today, as with any other ritual, same thing with communion, anything that we do, basically, if you're going to say, some have even said this to me before when we talked about baptism, membership in the church, and all of that. Some have even said at one time, they said, well, what's in it for me? Right? What's in it for me? And I say, well, hey, you get to laugh at some great corny jokes every Sunday. What do you mean, what's in it for you? What's in it for me? Well, you get to have a nice sauna whirlpool bath today. It was around 74 degrees or so a little bit earlier. It's probably warmer now. You're probably, some of you aren't even going to want to get out. You know, you're done. You can just move on for the next one. So what's in it for me? What's in it for you? What is this? Just like communion, just like any other tradition, just like any other ritual, the only thing you're going to get out of it is what you put into it. Because if you go in there today and you're saying, okay, I got to do this because I have to, that's all that's going to happen. You're just going to do it because you have to. And if you go in there today and you do it simply because, well, it's a ritual, it's a tradition, that's what Christians are supposed to do, well, that's all you're going to get out of it. But if you go in it today saying, this is the moment, this is the time when I am declaring to everyone that I have already made my decision and I am announcing to the world that I am serving Jesus for the rest of my life and no turning back, then it's going to be a moment where Jesus is going to be right there with us in that pool, and you're going to experience him in an incredible way. few minutes we're going to do this. The method. One thing I want to make clear today. Do not be concerned about the method. That's my opinion, at least. Maybe you disagree with that, but the method isn't necessary. It's good to have a method because, as you know, many churches have different methods in doing what we are about ready to do. It's kind of like Taco Bell. Anybody here ever eat at Taco Bell? We had a Spanish teacher when I was in high school, and I've always enjoyed Taco Bell, never had a problem with it. And we asked her, because she was very Spanish, she taught Spanish, she went to Mexico all the time, and we had, do you eat at Taco Bell? And she said, yes, but I'm never going back. And we said, why? And she said, because I saw them making the food one time, and they're doing it all with their hands, and all the germs, and all that. You know what I say? The method doesn't matter, it still tastes good, right? That's mine. So it's not about the method today, because our method is different than other churches. The church that I grew up in, the method was we had one, you got dunked one time and it was backwards. And then you're brought up for air. You were done. I baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that was it. You're done. Wiped your water off and went. And then when I became brethren in Christ, I found out brethren in Christ does it different. Brethren in Christ doesn't go backwards, they go forwards. And not only do they go forwards, but they go forwards not one, not two, three times I get to dunk you, okay? But there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because as a brethren in Christ history, the reason they do that is it's symbolism. First of all, they say, the history says to do it forward because it's symbolic of when Jesus died and when he dropped his head. It is finished, dropped his head. Because as Paul writes, you're going to die in there today because the rest of your life, your past is gone. This is the beginning of your new future and announcing that to the world. And the reason we do it three times is because we believe in the Trinity that is very clearly stated in the scripture. In Matthew 28, Jesus said to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what this time is. Something funny about the method. When I first came to Brethren in Christ Church, I was at the General Conference, actually, and I was meeting a few people, and some, I had previously been Nazarene, so the whole forward thing was new to me and all that. There was another pastor there who had been Nazarene also, and he brought up something while we were eating lunch together, and there were a couple people there, there were a couple senior citizens sitting there that seemed to me, you know how you stereotype people, and they just seemed to me like, just from first glance, oh, those are the legalists, those are the ones who dress right, they do all the right things, and you better not do the wrong thing, or they're going to point it out because they're the legalists, and they're all about the ritual. And so this guy was a jokester, which I can't stand pastors who are jokesters, by the way. But this guy who was a jokester, and he started to say, when he came to the Brethren in Christ Church, they go forward, and he goes, and Nazarene went backwards. He goes, what are we supposed to do? And I'm sitting there going, why are you saying that at this table when these people are here? They're probably going to be offended because you're making fun of baptism. You're making fun of the way they baptize. And the one lady who I thought was a legalist and a ritualist, she speaks up and she said, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you get in there and go one forward, one back. We don't care. Doesn't matter. So if you want to go one forward, one back, let me know. And we can do that today. But the method isn't the issue. It's what happens in the moment. That's why people who come and say, I want to be baptized, but I the doctor told me I can't be near water. What do I do? What do you think Jesus is going to do with it? You think Jesus is going to say, well, you never got baptized. No, there's another way we can do it. Not now, because all of you agreed to do this, by the way, so you're not going to change now. But I did have one. I wanted to tell you this last one. I don't know why. I'll just tell it. It was several years ago. Had a lady, senior citizen. I believe she was in her 80s. She wanted to be baptized. I said, are you sure? Yes. I want to be baptized. Never was baptized. I want to be baptized. Explained to her how we do it, forward, 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit, explained everything to her. The week before the baptism, I get a call from her. She's in the hospital, and she's having heart issues. And I'm talking to her, and I'm saying, okay, thinking about her age, thinking of what's going on, are you sure you want to go through with this baptism? Yes, I want to do it. You're sure? Yeah, I should be out tomorrow. I should be fine. I want to do the baptism. Then right before we got off the phone, she goes, oh, I forgot to tell you one thing. What's that? I'm afraid of water. So here I have this lady in her 80s, heart issue, coming out of the hospital, afraid of water. This was the Sunday, some of you might remember this, this was several years ago. This was the Sunday they forgot to turn the heater on in the baptistry. And this water was bone chilling. Bone chilling. Don't worry, you guys have nice comfort today. It's nice and warm. And so I bring her into the water, and she says she wants to go through with it. Father, up. In the name of the Son, up. And then I stopped, and I said, do you really want to do the third one? And she said, no, please, no. And I said, okay. Now, does anybody here think that Jesus is going to say, she was only 75% baptized? Only 66% baptized? No. That isn't how this works. That's not, he doesn't have a check card going, well, you didn't do the right method, you didn't do the right time, he didn't hold you under long enough, he didn't say the right thing. And, no, it has nothing, no, zero to do with it. What we are doing today is in the presence of Christ. And that what you experiencing Christ in this moment is the most important. So what we're going to do today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come up, and we're going to have you give any testimony that you want to give right now to the congregation. And other than that, you just have to say a couple I wills. And then what's going to happen is we're going to go back and get ready and come out for the baptism. So if we can take care of the stream. So go ahead, stand up, face the congregation right here. Here you are. And as I shared with all of them, as always happens every time we have the baptism, I'm always hit with, do I have to say anything? And I told them, no, you do not. But if you prefer to say something, you can. Nobody's going to stop you. So do we have anybody here who would like to share any testimony, anything at all from your heart today? Okay, we have one. Anybody else so I can have it ready? Are you sure? I thought you said you were... No.
I just want to thank God for giving me the ability to allow the faith that he started in me to grow. Because of God's gift of faith, I could make the choice to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I also found that I needed to exercise that faith and trust God so it grows stronger. That is why I'm here today, to exercise my faith in Jesus and the Word of God in front of my family and friends.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I cut anybody off who's eager to... Bob, you told me beforehand you had about 45 minutes or so. All right, so the only thing left to do is I just ask you one question, and that's it. Have you come to the place in your life where you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it is your goal to give your life to him for the rest of your life? If so, answer, I will. Okay. Now what's going to happen is you're going to be escorted out to go change and be ready. And what's going to take place is, as they are escorted out, the tech team has a great playlist they're going to play for worship. The worship's going to continue throughout the entire baptism, because that's what baptism is all about, is worship. We're going to be singing the entire time. So I want to hear you sing. The words are going to be up on the screen for you to sing along with as well. And we're going to gather at the river. So that means everybody is going to pack in right down here. Okay? And we want families, please let the families come up first. And then we have the kids coming in. They're going to come up first. And everybody else, find your place. Gather at the river. Pack in as tight as you can possibly get it. And then when we're done, then Ted's going to dismiss us in prayer when it's all done, because I'm going to be drying off all of that. So you guys can go. They're going to take you right out that door. They're going to take you to your special room and get you taken care of while I go to mine. And we'll go. So right now, everybody, gather at the river. Pack it.